Hey everybody, it's your girl Jessie Mae. Welcome to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beow, beow, beow. I am excited about this week's episode, and I'm also excited about where I'm traveling to. I'm going to be in Minneapolis / Bloomington, Minnesota at the House of Comedy in the Mall of America. That's right, that big ass mall. Come see me tomorrow, Thursday through Sunday, March 15th through the 18th. You can get tickets at jessiemae.com. And you can also come see me after the show, guys. Come say hello. Hug me. Bring me weed. Maybe some snacks. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to eat your food. I don't trust people. I don't know if you like put some poison or jerked off into a cupcake. I'm not really into that. So hold off on the snacks and the treats. Just bring me weed. Thank you very much. It's been a wild week. A lot of stuff going on. Stuff's always happening. What a generalization. Hey guys, there's stuff happening. I don't know if you're awake in the world, but this episode this week was a lot of fun. I sat down with my friend Christopher McClure and we talked a lot of shit, man. We had a lot to say. We may have gotten high. We may have gotten a little drunk on red wine. And he's just hanging out with my girlfriend, Chris McClure. I mean, we talked about really hard-hitting topics like diarrhea, baboon asshole, and sea enemas. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode, and make sure you come see me live. I'm also going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin, Texas. That's going to be April 18th, 19th, and the 20th. Hello, 420. Holler at your girl. I'm going to be doing my Seven Deadly Sins show with Christopher McClure, and also I'm going to be doing a live hilarious podcast. Please, if you think of it, rate and review the Sharp Tongue Podcast. It means a lot. It helps out. And I like to hear if you guys are enjoying it. And also, make sure that you are just not being an asshole in general. You know, that's a really important thing that I like to try and spread. People like to spread love. I like to spread awareness. And do you think you need to be aware of the fact that sometimes you're an asshole? And by you, I mean me. Try and lead with a happy foot today, and you're like, fuck you, bitch, I can't pay my bills, my man's an asshole, my kid is sucking the life out of my tits, and it's raining. So perspective is everything. I realize that. This is why I don't have caffeine after 5 o'clock. I'm like a goddamn gremlin. I feel like I'm going to explode from the inside out. Ay Dios mio. I'm going to let you guys enjoy this episode of the Very Diarrhea Podcast. I want look of a night. Really giving me blooms. I went look of a night. Does that all sound cool?
Here we go.
You think we sound good? Do we need to test it at all? Fuck it, right? Let's just go balls in.
What? You say we're just going to go balls in?
Balls in. Balls in.
Balls in.
Hey, this is Cheryl Balls in.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Balls First with Chris and Jess and May.
Balls First.
That's how I was born. I was born Balls First.
Oh, my God.
They're like, we don't know what this is. Oh, we get it.
I, like, changed Elliot, my nephew. Not for the first time, but it felt like the first time. Feels like the first time.
Yeah, was anybody else around?
No, and I
did it
wiped him slowly. No, my sister was there. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's pretty well hung for a little kid. Is that weird to say?
No.
It's weird to see a teeny, teeny dick. Like a baby, yeah. It's a baby dick.
I've seen that look in a lot of women's faces.
I know, I was going to say, you've seen one your whole life. You know,
every time I go to the shower. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Oh. It's just a teeny little.
He's got a teeny little, but you said he's good hung. He's well hung.
But I mean, teeny and, you know, I'm used to ginormous.
A huge dick.
Just because I date silverback gorillas.
You're a size queen.
I'm into bestiality. Yeah, I'm letting the secret out.
You haven't slept on your back in years. It could hurt.
I am a back sleeper.
Are you?
Yeah. I've been having some insomnia issues the past couple nights. Do you ever have that?
You mean anxiety?
Is that what insomnia is?
Yeah, I mean, usually if you can't shut your mind off and it's just racing, that's another word for it.
I'm going to take notes while we're going, speaking of anxiety.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me give you some completely unqualified medical advice.
I'm really typing dick right now.
Baby dick. Oh, okay, yeah. So I'll tell you the first one we knocked out of the park was my nephew's dick. Yeah. And then McClure overshared, and I went right into my night terrors.
sure.
Yeah, it's not a tiny dick, but it's like a medium dick. If I had, let's put it this way, if I was a lot taller, my dick would look ridiculous.
It would be.
It would be like, oh, that's too bad. I've even thought about tattooing my knees up higher on my legs. For photos, it'd look better. But no, it's fine. I've never needed more dick. I've never had anybody say, you know, if you had more dick.
You know what? It's like, I've dated all sorts of guys.
Here we go.
Well, mainly, why here we go? Mm-hmm. Why do you say here we go?
Why? Oh, because it's going to be a good story when it starts like that.
Why? You just looked at my shins when you said
that. I didn't look at your shins. You just lifted one up into the sky and it cut like a razor. It's like the wing on a fucking stealth bomber.
It's the wing of a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
They're very sharp shins. I've dated a plethora of men. They've all been assholes for the most part. But like.
But they didn't start that way, did they?
No, I started off great.
They start great.
I know. I mean, I started great with a nice guy. And then I was like, let me see what else is out there.
So were they. That's interesting. So when did they. Were they assholes in the beginning? We'd be somewhere,
yes.
And like, somebody cuts you off in traffic, takes your parking spot, you know, won't let you order a drink at the bar, just as a total dick. And then you're like, you know what? I should fuck this guy.
Yeah, you're like, you know what? I'm going to waste a couple years of my life on this one.
Come on.
I'm going to fix this one.
They did not start that shitty.
Yeah, you know, yeah, of course they did. You know,
really?
for a lot of people, and you can attest to this, who you date is a reflection of yourself. Essentially, you're going to go after.
I should really give stripping another chance then.
Welcome to Inhibitions.
Oh damn, what's up? My name's Bouquet. Somebody turn up this music.
My name's Bouquet. Are you kidding me?
That's what it'd be.
Hi, I'm Crystal Sacrifice.
Yeah.
Nice to meet y'all.
Oh shit.
Yeah, they're all assholes, I think, for the most part.
So
in the
dating
middle.
Who you date, absolutely who you date's a reflection
it's
of
so it's your
how
worth.
You feel
it's
about
a reflection
yourself.
Of your self-worth.
Yeah. But
we have nice people now.
Oh, the best.
We're starting to love ourselves.
Yeah, I fell in love with myself a couple of years ago.
I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I can't say that I have you know, I was robbed once.
By a
so
woman
I don't really,
or
yeah, by
or?
By a woman.
like, by an did old, she steal old your shit?
She stole my fucking money.
Well, I got robbed once too.
Really? No, she moved out. She moved out of my place, and she took my ATM card. Because back, I don't know if they still do this, but like you get a debit card, they send you an ATM card mm-hmm. too. And she knew my PIN. I didn't give her my PIN. She just watched me do it like at the grocery store and stuff.
What a shady bitch.
And so that shady bitch took my card when she moved all of her shit out of my place while I was gone. And then like 3 weeks later, I got a notice from my bank. Like,
she emptied you out?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Did you do anything?
No. I didn't cheat on her. I didn't do anything bad. I wasn't like...
Was she a crazy bitch?
She was not. She was desperate. And because she wasn't doing anything to... I was dating projects... And
you were dating, yeah. Yeah, see, that's another thing.
I was carrying her, and I was carrying her for a while, and I set that whole fucking thing up. But then, you know, then we went into a couple of months of, listen, you know, this isn't working. You got to move back in with your sister or with your friends, or you got to find a place. You got to find a job. She didn't have a job.
That's so
gross.
You
got
to,
like, you got
to
find your thing, and you just, like, I had to cut it, right? And I was like, listen, how about this weekend? I'm going to go to San Francisco. Can you please
you get the fuck out of my life?
You get the fuck out of my life. Could this be the weekend that happens?
How is March 2nd for you to fuck off?
Why don't you get your book out?
Could April 22nd work for you off?
Oh, the 22nd, no good? Okay, well, why don't we circle back around this one? Yeah, meanwhile, it's like, fuck, it's 6 weeks earlier. But
how old was she? That's a big thing.
That was she was 27, 6.
That's when you, as a woman, you kind of come around and start
I feel like the
to get your
on,
shit
then.
Together.
Yeah. I feel like that's when the lights come
you
on.
You shed your childhood bullshit. You start to recognize yourself and have some self-awareness, and you make a decision to, you know, date yourself or continue dating assholes. Not that you're the asshole. I'm just saying, like...
Yeah, well, I think that... I think also, you know, it happens much later for men, but, you know, I think with women, you guys get to a point to where you're, oh my God, look at you reaching for the wine. Holy shit. Go, gadget arms.
I'm reaching across because this wine's good. As you're talking, I wanted to grab the bottle.
So, yeah, I think, I think that's when it happens for women. And I think that you stop hanging out with the, you know, if you really have goals in your life and you're really mm-hmm. going to start pursuing them, you start to see it working out for some people and you see it not working out for other people. And then you're like, all right, which side of this am I going to be on?
Right. And because at some point, I mean, you can always change, but at some point it's a lot harder
yeah.
to adjust.
Yep.
Like if you're 37 and you're still dating assholes and blaming everybody else and being like, oh, this guy's an asshole, this guy's an asshole. Well, you're always dating them. And you can always victimize yourself and you can always have a reason why it's this other person.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And it's never the other person. Unless you're like dating some fucking talented Mr. Ripley manipulative fucking psychopath, right?
Check, please.
Jesus Christ.
Last relationship.
Oh, man.
And you know, I haven't really opened up too much on the podcast about like the fact that my ex was crazy, but I'm you know, being okay with it
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so the door's locked, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay, the door, and the locks are changed, which yeah. I had to okay. do. But yeah, but you know, it's.
That got, so how long was that one?
That was about a year. And 4 months in, I was realizing I needed to get out on and off. It was because people like talented Mr. Ripley types mm-hmm. are so good at making you think you're the crazy one. Mm-hmm. And
then you find like 90 pictures on his phone of you sleeping.
Just an eyelid. Yeah, just yeah, like yeah. right in my face. Yeah.
You're like, why are all my clothes stretched out? He's like, no reason. No reason, Jennifer. You're like, it's Jessamay.
I come home and he's spoon feeding Bunny some oatmeal and just slowly jerking himself off, watching Longmire.
So those were the good times. When did it get weird? When did it get weird?
It was weird. It was always weird, but I made excuses for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was attractive and made me feel like I was a crazy person. And
yeah, but
also
hold
I wasn't
on.
Ready
but hold
to,
on. Why? So let's back up to the attractive thing.
Okay.
Why? Did you need to date attractive? Did it make
oh,
you feel better
God,
having an attractive
have seen
dude?
The ones before. Oof.
Oh, really?
Oof.
Yeah.
Roadkill.
Really?
You'd
go
roadkill
fucking
warriors.
Dumpster diving, huh?
I'd go dumpster diving. I mean, I didn't really have. Everyone's like, I have a type. My type was just people who weren't worth my time because I didn't feel self-worth.
Ah, there you go.
You know
go.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, I didn't. I got it. I got it. I didn't have the self. What I had was, I never really chose people. They chose me, and I was.
What
so,
are you, Jesus?
No, I was so focused on like my career and doing my thing that I was like, oh, I'm not going to get into a relationship. And if this chick wants to hang out, cool, I guess we can hang out. But like, I'm not going to take this seriously. And then 4 months later, she's sitting shotgun in my car and we're driving on our way to go fucking have dinner at my brother's house.
Meet her mom.
Yeah, and I'm like, wait a minute, I think we're dating now, right? We're not fucking anybody else, are we? Whammo. Now
it
we got
happened.
And now we got a major holiday to deal with.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So that's how my relationships would happen. And then of course I would I have a pretty active imagination, so I'd start hanging. I call it Christmas tree chick, to where you just start hanging qualities on them that don't exist. Oh my God, bro, you got to meet her. She's really funny. It's like, is she really funny, or is she sardonic and rude? Yeah, or does she just laugh when you stop talking?
Yeah, because like, you're funny off stage.
I am really funny off stage. If you want to see me at my funniest, you know, follow me to the shower.
Yeah, seriously, just you know, watch you be alone in your bedroom.
Pretty much.
Hilarious.
I mean,
are funny.
I hate to say it, but that is kind of funny.
It is funny.
I do wake up laughing. I wake up like legitimately laughing and like
when you say that,
playfully.
It kind of makes me want to slap you in the face.
But that I wake up in a good mood?
Yeah. Just that I wake up laughing. That sounds like something somebody who's starting a new religion says to get people to sign up.
Oh, you know what else it sounds like? It sounds like something that would be written on painted on a piece of driftwood that you would have bought at fucking Marshall's where the rest of your art's from. Yeah, that's right. I wake up, period, wake up laughing.
My mom, honestly, it is funny you say that. She's got so many knickknacks in the house that have inspirational sentences on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, like, literally she has one that says, because I'm the mom, that's why. Oh. There's no kids in the house. Nancer hasn't been kids in the house for 2 decades.
Yeah. Rock, scissors, paper, wine. What the fuck, Mom? Quit giving money to Pier 1.
It's what wine is wrong o'clock.
With it's got to be wine o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock in Wine Town.
Yeah.
There's always like some ridiculous. She has a chalkboard. It's so funny because that shit is contagious. The tchotchke.
Oh, my God. You know what I call them?
What?
You know what I call Z-gals.
Z-gals?
Yeah, chicks that shop at Z-Gallery.
Oh, Z-gals. God. Yeah. Tchotchke is
yeah, because you go in and it's like, how many fucking mirrored little crystally things do you need? And then there's motivational sayings. My favorite, my ex, God love her. She really is a wonderful human.
God love her.
She is awesome.
Is it the one I met?
She taught.
The one we're working with on Monday?
No. No, there's another. She's incredible, that one. But no, this is my ex. I was engaged to her.
Holy hell.
Yeah, she dealt with a really tough Chris McClure. But I was going through some shit. But she she would print out sayings.
And do what?
Frame them.
Frame them just...
So I wouldn't even have shit from Z Gallery on my wall. I'd have something that came out of a fucking, you know, your toner cartridge is just low printer.
Just on a piece of paper?
Yeah, just on a piece of paper.
I kind
of
like that simplicity.
I like that, and she printed out, and then we'd have it.
Some people need to read shit.
And there, you guys, yeah, you got to read it.
My mom has one above the bed that says, what's the one about the bed bugs?
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Don't let the bed bugs bite above the bed. It's like, what is this? The Econo Lodge in Wichita?
Did the city maker put that up?
Did the health inspector come? Is it mandatory?
It's got. Why does it have 19 signatures on it with dates?
What's with this? Is it notarized?
That's Ralph. He comes by to check the bed bugs. Hey, he's going to rubber stamp it. Don't worry, honey. I haven't had him in months.
And then underneath that, it says, always kiss me goodnight. Not with the fucking bed
bugs. What are you, new?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
That doesn't get me going.
Yeah.
Bed bugs doesn't get me worked up.
Don't let the bed bugs bite. That's
always something. Kiss me tonight. Always kiss me goodnight is painted on the wall. Then there's a piece of wood that has printed on it, don't let the bed bugs bite.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you love how my dogs...
And then a mirror that she's written in lipstick, I can fuck Ted Danson if I meet him.
Ted Danson, no. Her guy
your
was Neil Diamond.
Awesome. Are you fucking kidding me?
I knew that would stop you in your tracks. Right. I knew that would stop you in your tracks. You just got so excited.
Gloves are back on. She is cool with me.
Have you tried this wine?
The wine's great.
It's James Bryant Hill.
Is it a Pinot?
Central Coast Pinot.
It's fucking awesome.
Oh, it's from a sustainable farm, sustainably grown.
Well, I mean,
and
everything I drink and eat sustainable.
Is it?
No.
Oh.
But
I mean,
last time I left your house so high, I had Taco Bell for the first time in 4 years. I wasn't shitting right for a week.
When? You couldn't shit? That's not the week.
No. I wasn't shitting right.
Right?
No, of course not. It tore me up.
The weed?
No,
or the
Taco Bell.
Oh, the Taco Bell.
I got so high. You gave me, you fucking smoked me out, and I got.
You had to go to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I went to the one on Bundy and Pico. Oh,
don't eat anything on Bundy.
Oh,
and Pico?
Bundy and Pico.
That sounds like a new show for Netflix.
Yeah.
About cocaine and tacos.
It's about dysentery. Yeah. And the thing is...
Murders and dysentery.
And me trying to find it, too. Me trying to find it high was literally like Magellan. I'm like fucking Lewis and Clark on the west side of Los Angeles. I just have faith it's right over this hill. I'm so hungry.
Taco Bell, gross.
And I got in line. I got in line and my girlfriend called me. And I answered the phone, and then I panicked because I was getting closer to the window, and I'm like, I can't have her hear me order this. I'm like, hey, babe, listen, I'm about to get on the freeway. I got to go.
I'm on the freeway.
I'm driving. So I shouldn't. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You've been driving this whole time. I just got to go. I got to go.
14 cheese and bean burritos.
Yeah, I did. I got a burrito supreme.
Jesus.
I went for it. I got a bunch of crunchy tacos.
Oh,
let's see
the little texture.
They're so good, but they just went everywhere. It literally looked like Chinese New Year in my car. It's a confetti of
you ate it?
Taco. There's no way to eat those without shit going everywhere.
I don't fuck with that fast food.
Yeah, no, I couldn't.
I can't. Even now, LA messes you up when you go travel other places and you try and eat. Your guts are like, nope. Oh, did you want a bottle of water from this town? Nope.
Oh, how about when we get to Michigan and we went to fucking Benihana's?
Holy hell. We went to Benihana's. Well, that was the night we got there. We're like, hey, let's eat local.
Well, we didn't really eat, right? Because I don't think they didn't serve anything on the plane.
No.
And we land in Michigan at 9 o'clock
yeah,
at night.
And they had to get the rental car.
Yep. And then we get on the road, and we're like, well, let's just get a little bit outside of town, and we'll find something. And I'm searching steakhouse, and so Benny dumb. Hanna show.
Benny Hanna. That guy sells used cars in Ohio.
He got an ankle bracelet. Yeah, Benny, watch out
He's
for Benny.
He's got the gout and an ankle bracelet. It's a difficult fit.
I stand by he's wrongly accused.
But his mother, well, they're a little too close, in my opinion. That relationship is lubricated, if you ask me.
Oh, my God. We're going to get murdered in the Midwest next time we go.
Murdered in the Midwest should be our comedy title.
No, it's going to be our Dateline episode. Yeah. Murdered.
It all started at a Benihana.
Yeah. Comedian and Jessamay Peluso and someone you've never heard of were killed at a Benihana.
We were there for 3 hours. Do you realize that?
It was literally like a quinceanera. It was we were there so long.
I had a dog. I had Chaplin with me.
You had the dog underneath the
I was like, shh, just play it cool. Yeah. I hit him in my jacket. It was, and then it just took forever, and that like really prolific, adorable little black girl. Remember how cute she was?
She was so sweet.
And she was like, you know,
she was like, I know all kinds of words like this, like that, like racist.
Yeah, she was like, I know all kinds of words. I like wonderful, magical, racist.
Yeah.
I was you
And by the way,
it.
You and I were the only white people in that portion of the restaurant.
And you're like, what'd she say? I was dying.
We're like 15, 20 minutes outside of Detroit.
Only
and
white people.
We're the only white people in this Benihana. And Jess hears this girl say racist and loses her shit laughing.
Her mother was dying.
And the mother is dying laughing.
We're dying.
So sweet. And it's a mother's birthday. She brings her daughter there for her own birthday. And then she looks at us and she goes, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Please,
she goes,
forgive her.
3 and 4 syllable words, yeah, and she's just like racist.
Yeah, she goes, please forgive her. And you're both crying, laughing, and I didn't hear it because I'm wondering what kind of shrimp I'm gonna have in the middle of fucking Michigan. I'm like, oh, they got the surf and
Should
turf.
Should we get the surf and turf?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. A lobster tail. I'll have a Michigan lobster
and some beef. Oh, I hear the beef is good out here in Detroit.
So I throw down about 25 pounds of Benihana over the course of an hour. And then Jess is like, you are going to have explosive diarrhea.
Yeah. And I just.
Yeah, I didn't. You did right away.
Oh,
right?
My body is like, nope.
Immediately.
My body literally, when I eat, bam.
Yeah.
It's like, it's either fight or flight.
Oh, wow. Yeah, mine held on to it for like 2 days. After we did that show in Lansing, I remember getting home and I was like,
brutality.
I'm going to lose some weight. Yeah.
The best thing for bikini season is definitely like a
little bit of dysentery.
Yeah, a little bit of like gut bacteria.
Fuck.
For sure.
So let's see, we've covered your nephew's dick and some gut bacteria.
Diarrhea. I never know where to put the H. There we go. Thank you, spell check.
Two A's in that?
It's two R's. It's two R's because you're grunting the whole time.
So you went back home?
Yeah, I went to see my pops.
And sent me a fucking hysterical voice memo.
Did you keep it?
No, they won't let me. Oh, I can save it.
You can save them.
Yeah, when he's talking, he's like, you show up here, I'm going to, what did he say he was going to do? Shoot me if I came into the porch?
He has this character he's been doing for years, and he's called Tony Two Fingers. And he's just
amazing.
Like, if you come in to Syracuse and you try to talk to my daughter, you're going to have to answer to Tony Two Fingers. You step on my porch, I'm going to shoot your ass. Anything.
Tony Two Fingers sounds like a sexual criminal.
Yeah, it sounds like
the uncle you never want to stay with. Yeah. Old Tony Two Fingers over there. Who named him that? Me and my sister.
His sister, because she knew it all along.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He's nuts. He's a goofball.
But he laughs.
He laughs at himself.
Your dad is, I mean, from the videos I've seen and from the phone calls we've been on, he's in good spirits, right?
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
He's always been a goofball. Like, you know what? I remember this one time. I went to college for like a year and a half. And
gave it a spin?
I was like, all right. My mom's like, do something with your life. I'm like, all right, photography.
How old were you when you went to college?
18.
Okay. And you really studied photography?
Photography and anthropology. It was only a year and a half. I was like, people and photos.
Yeah.
You know, basically just Instagram. I started Instagram.
Pretty much. I was just going to say.
You're welcome, America.
And now what do I do? Now I got carpal tunnel from turning my phone back around on myself. I have my own show
My
Instagram.
My dad picks me up. I got to have a little bit of this.
For the listeners, Jessamay is taking a hit on some weed.
This is Bubba Kush from Rocky Mountain High dispensaries in Colorado. It's so delicious. It's fun. Do you want
oh,
some?
Oh, delicious is why I'm going to hit this?
Wet. Sorry. You might want to wipe that off.
Oh, is it sativa or an indica? Is
it's an indica.
Yeah. Okay, so guys, what time are we at right now? You want to mark this? We're at 22 minutes?
Yeah, at 22 minutes is when him and I first started. It's delicious. Just take one hit, though. Don't
okay,
go crazy.
That was one tiny little hit. And
so he picks me up from...
I'm going to tie my shoelaces to this chair. I don't want to go anywhere.
And then 2 minutes later, we're going to hear...
Yeah.
Just the stool being dragged across over to the kitchen.
To Pico and Bundy to the Taco Bell. That's called a callback. What
yeah,
I did
guys,
there.
It's a callback. That's a callback. He picks me up from Ock on the Rock, Onondaga Community College. And there's this bar called Kelly's up there. He wants to go see the bartender who he's friends with. And so he picks me up. And then we go to the bar, we park in the parking lot, and we go to get out, and he gets in the back seat, in the trunk, actually. And he pulls out a cowboy hat, an eye patch, and you know those, like, Bubba teeth?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I don't want her to recognize me. I just want to mess with her. And I'm like, what? So we go in this bar, and my dad's got a cowboy hat. These fucking teeth and an eye patch.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have a character planned out. He just laughs. He just is laughing at
that. Meanwhile, everyone else in this bar is like in a fucking baseball cap.
It's at noon.
And a vest.
Oh, I should say it's at noon. It's at noon o'clock.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of cowboy hats in Syracuse?
No.
Yeah.
Baseball hats.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got like baseball hats on. And he just comes in. He's like, and like that sums up my dad. He's just a total goofball. And she was laughing her ass off. But I just remember like my dad picked me up. Oh, and it was me playing hooky. He's like, let's go to the bar. Picks me up so I can get out of college early so we can go drink. Let's just first put on this disguise because I want to, you know, mess with the bartender. He's a babe. He's a doll.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. We had a good, that was Sunday when I left you that voice note, but he was good.
That's so great.
Mm-hmm.
That's so great.
Less freakouts and all of that.
Yeah.
I still want to figure out how to get him some CBD.
Is it legal there?
I think it's legal everywhere.
CDB is? There's a thing called CDB. Oh, that's that Slabble. Fucking. What did you just give me? You gave me, what's that called? Gurney Scream?
They're in Coachella this year.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The lead singer really embodies Janis Joplin in a way I've never seen before. I've never seen that before. Gurney scream.
Yeah.
What the F?
Oh, man. I don't know, but I'm feeling good. Holy shit.
It's just chill.
I had an incredibly intense last 4 hours.
Why?
I was at...
You're at Red Bull. Speak into your microphone.
I was at Red Bull.
What were you doing at Red Bull? Is for the tour? Their big tour?
Yeah. So I produce, I have a production deal there, and we're developing a bunch of shows for them. And they have a music festival. So there's a big Red Bull music festival happening in New York next month, and we're just going over what we're going to do there. And it was like, hey, and we need all of these ideas by Monday. And it was like 50 things that we're combing through. And like a fucking idiot, I woke up this morning, I had coffee, I had a protein shake.
Hey, quiet. We're fine.
I think I just shit my pants.
Chaplin's bark.
Yeah.
It sounds like a seahorse fart.
I know. He barks and then he turns around and looks at you and like shakes.
Yeah, he's scared himself.
Oh, fucking Jesus. You have no idea how loud that is in my head.
So you had a protein shake,
So I had a protein shake, coffee, and then I went to Red Bull and put down a Red Bull.
Oh, Jesus.
Holy
Jesus.
Christ on a bicycle. Did we get that work
Christ
done?
Christ on a bicycle?
Oh, man, I went
I
for
mean,
it.
I want to see that Broadway play.
So I had about 3 or 4 hours of just... Like, we knocked it out. We got it done, but it was really, really intense.
That's terrible.
And then I sat in... And then traffic across town to get here.
Where the hell were you when I sent you a message?
Like, Sentinel and Olympic.
I don't know, for whatever reason that made me think of Jurassic Park.
Actually, I was right around the corner from that Taco Bell at Pico and Bundy.
Were you?
Yeah.
I got you away from Shark City.
Oh, man. Yeah, but also you got me away from 2 hours of traffic trying to make it back to my house,
yeah,
which is only 10 miles away.
I know, you're so close to me, and you have a whole house. Now you have a fucking dog.
I got a dog.
What a cunt.
I got a dog.
You're a cunt.
It's the best. It's the, oh, come on, you have fucking three of them.
I know, you're right.
Three that I know of. What else you got here?
There's a ferret in my asshole.
You know what?
A buddy- All right, there's a, I've got a sugar flyer in my taint.
He hangs by the tight. Way, a sugar flyer, that's what you should call your taint, because that's what they look like. Is that a sugar flyer? I will know if you pull out, that's my asshole in the bottom of my veggie.
Budgie.
Budgie. Yeah, that's the squirrel. Whatever you want.
Squirrel. It's a squirrel.
A sugar glider.
See, isn't it, this weed's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I feel great.
It's fun. It's fun weed.
Mm-hmm. How long is my car good there? Like through tomorrow?
Through tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, do you have like...
Put you asleep in an oak tree outside.
I was just going to say, can I get the belt from your robe? I'm going to see if they'll tow my Prius home.
From your robe, yeah. Son of a bitch.
Like, hey, fella, tie this thing up. Anyway, yeah, super intense, and now I'm relaxed. Now I got wine and a little bit of...
Wine and weed's the way to go.
It's so great.
It really is. I mean, it just kind of, you know, it sets the mood.
I mean, we're very fortunate that we can do these things and not have them run away with our lives because we don't have... with all of our ails that we don't have addiction.
Well, you've got that whole circus peanut issue where you shove them in all your
orifices.
I did
throw up one time on circus peanuts, and I can't eat them anymore.
Really?
I can't drink gin and tonics because I barfed on gin and tonics.
I can't drink...
I barfed on circus peanuts.
They're so gross. There's something about them that's really gross.
Yeah.
They're like... They taste like the dust of... Like a floor dust.
Okay.
They're radical chala. Wow. Floor dust is so radical chala. I can no longer drink screwdrivers.
Oh, I drink them on the airplane.
Gross.
That's my airplane drink.
Gross.
Why?
Ugh.
It's vodka. It's vodka. And orange. What's wrong with
it's
a screwdriver?
It's so gross. It's the grossest drink. I drank so much of them when I was younger. I have a total aversion to them. They're disgusting.
What did you have in San Francisco with my girlfriend? Mezcal?
Oh, God. See, this is what... And then there was a photo of me on the hallway floor.
Face down. Ass up. Yeah, you didn't even fall all the way down. You fell down and said, just rape this. Doesn't count. Run by.
I was like shin to the floor, feet up.
You look like something to park a bike in.
You know, I looked like a Mezcal promotional ad is what I looked like.
Yeah, pretty much. Your asshole was pointed just directly at the moon. I'm like, what's going on? Is she telling time?
My asshole sent a bat signal of a Mexican sunset out into the universe.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, we got, because what came first, the mezcal or the tears?
Well, the mezcal and then the tears.
Mezcal and then the tears.
That was a heavy night. It was awesome.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite trips I've ever been on. Honestly, that
was
so fun.
I wish we could have had more shows with the Seven Deadly Sins, but in the Moon Tower Festival, that'll be fun.
Yeah, we're going to be at the Moon Tower Festival in Austin.
April 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Oh, how fun.
And we're going to do a live... recording of the new Hilarious podcast that's going to be coming out on 420. So I'm going to release an episode on 420 that will be available online and all that stuff. But then I'm going to be recording a live one. Hopefully Chris will be there.
I'll do it.
I don't have
to get any higher than this, do I?
Yes.
I'm a little intimidated by your Hilarious podcast because at a certain point I go clinical. I'm like, somebody push on my chest so I breathe in.
My mom sent me a text because Bob took too many edibles, boyfriend
Bob.
Oh,
my God.
And she goes, hun, he thinks he's dying. What do we do?
You're like, get online. Start dating.
I was just going to try and look through her text messages. She was just like, hun, Bob thinks he's dying. What do we do? And I was like,
finger up the asshole, right?
Yeah,
did you play that old trick on her?
Put
you got any fish sticks
in the ice
in
cube.
The freezer?
You got any frozen bananas in
that?
Yeah. And I told her, I was like, well, what did he take? And so I sent her edibles in the mail every so often because Bob's shaped like a question mark and she's got lupus.
And that's also a federal offense, but just keep
Fuck
going.
It.
You're doing
yeah,
great.
Yeah, keep doing it. Bubble wrap. Hashtag bubble wrap.
Yeah, there you go.
And UPS.
Mm-hmm.
And so I send her edibles and it's just a various stuff that I collect. I mean, there's so much weed in this apartment.
No,
there's so many various things that I have in every nook and cranny. And so I sent them something called a moon stick.
Oh, yeah. No, that sounds safe.
Yeah, I mean...
Hey, this is for beginners. This one's called Saturn Tears. You're going to cry, not because you went to Saturn, but you went there so fast you cut your face on the ring.
This one's called Jupiter Gangbang. Have fun.
Have fun. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're going to...
This one's called Andromeda Nightmare. Yeah. Enjoy.
You're like, honey, why is this edible come with...
why is it with an EpiPen and a... defibrillator.
Yeah. Why does it come with a bladder bag for an enema? You know what, Mom?
Bladder bag.
Just do it. Just do it. You're going to want the chute cleaned out before you take one of these.
And the moon stick is obviously...
Moon stick.
It's like 300 milligrams. I mean, it's not like
whoa.
Diaz.
300?
It's not the Death Star.
Hold on. 300 milligrams.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
I'm supposed to have like 10 or 15.
Right. And I have like 3. And I'm fine.
What are you doing with 300? Why do you need 300 milligrams of anything?
That's just for people with high tolerance. And I just send them whatever I got.
Who has that high of a tolerance?
Abraham Lincoln now.
pretty much anybody that's been buried since the Second World War. You can sprinkle it on their corpse and they're fine.
Huck Finn.
I was kidding. What? Who in the fuck has that? I don't think Joe Rogan has that tolerance. And he's doing push-ups now.
On elk meat.
Right. He's doing like, yeah. Every 10, he takes a bite. He claps his hands and takes a bite.
He does a stripper booty clap and eats it through his asshole.
Oh, my God.
So she I was like, what did he have? And she said, the moon stick. And I went, oh, fuck.
He ate 300 milligrams.
No, he didn't eat 300 milligrams. And I said, show me the portion size he had. Yeah. He had a fifth of it.
Oh, wow.
I can't do that math, but it's way too much. Wow, what's a fifth of 300?
Oh, man. Why are you going to do that to me right now?
Carry the one, who knows, too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, what do I do? His daughter's coming over. He's got to cook. I'm like, he's going to be cooked in like 2 minutes. And I just was like, you know, toss him in the shower. Because the one thing that, even though this is Sharp Tongue, it's not hilarious, but we're talking about weed, but that's fucking fine. When you get high, you need temperature and like citrus.
Mm.
My partner's wife taught me the citrus trick, like a mandarin or orange or some sort of grapefruit that kind of grounds you. And anything that's like cold, like an ice cube. So I was like, toss him in the shower with a grapefruit. Let me know how it goes.
Grapefruit's fucking misery.
Yeah, he's still in the shower now.
he hasn't been able to unpurse his lips in 3 months. His
knees have been knocked for the whole time.
His mouth looks like a baboon's asshole.
God. Why is a baboon's asshole that way?
Oh, my God. The worst. The worst. There's just some things in nature that...
What is with the baboon asshole? I'm typing baboon asshole.
They really got a raw deal.
Okay. Well, literally, they got a raw asshole. Yeah. I'm gonna Google it, but what's your guess? I'm going to Google the answer.
Why do their assholes look that way?
I'm going to guess to scare, like, predators away. What do you think? Because it literally looks like a Basquiat piece.
I don't know that much about them. I mean, to differentiate them from other species of monkey, of orangutan, or whatever the fuck they are.
So you think it's so other monkeys know like, that's
yeah,
not
why,
Cheryl?
Why do peacock? Why do peacocks have their feathers, and why do chickens not?
All right, are we
I'm
ready?
I'm so fucking high.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
First of all, Google...
Oh, thanks for looking at me like I'm the idiot. You're fucking reading it off your computer.
No, that's what
she
they say. Google says first of all. And I was about to be like, excuse me, Google. You're welcome. Calm down. Mm-hmm. Like, we're both high and drunk on red wine. Calm down with the attitude. First of all, it says, the callous swellings...
Oh, God.
And the ass of baboons gives them a good surface to sit on. The red ass of the baboon is also a swelling that occurs in females around ovulation. I can attest to that.
Right, you know?
So, when they're most fertile. With a redder and more swollen ass, the males can tell that a female is ready to reproduce. So, it's literally just, it's a fuck billboard.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
Good for them. Nature's amazing.
Nature, but...
This is how high we are. You know what? Some people put on planet Earth and let fucking Attenborough do all the work. Not us. We go right into fucking...
Baboon asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baby dicks and baboon asshole.
Why are baby dicks so small, but kind of big?
I don't understand. I felt weird for looking at my nephew's dick.
I didn't look at it in that way. He's so cute, though. Oh, my God. It's so crazy how...
So he's throwing a hammer.
He's throwing a hammer. Good and he's him. Super smart. Yeah. I know everybody says that.
Oh, I know. You're already making excuses for him because he's got a big dick. Look at you. Old habits die hard.
No, he's an artist. He is an artist. You should see his paintings. They're amazing. They're all under my bed and in my carport. That's how good of a... When I leave for the day to go to work, he pulls out his canvases and paints in my car space.
I mean, it's just circles. It's just black circles. But yeah. I think it's an outer space. I think it's an interpretation of the creation of man.
He is so deep, I wish I could fully understand him.
Oh, my God.
What?
I was just,
has that happened?
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's too close to home. Look
it's
at you.
It's too much.
You shut right up. You put that red asshole away.
My asshole just sucked back in like one of those sea urchin things. Oh, man. You know, those like sea tulips that pop out and then suck
sea
back
anemone.
In. Sea
anemone. My asshole
sea
does
enema?
That. Sea anemone.
Sea anemone.
Yeah, you put your finger or your toe in it and it closes up.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, sea anemone.
Sea anemone?
Sea anemone.
Are you serious?
Yeah, sea anemone.
Let's see if you're right.
I promise you.
I can't even.
I promise you.
How did you learn that? Sea?
I wanted to be a marine biologist before I got, before.
That's a sea anemone. You're right.
You get it? Yeah, I know.
Can sea enemas hurt humans?
Sea anemone.
Well. Is this sea, what kind of sea anemone?
You know when you go tide pooling? We'll do it on Sunday when we go up to.
You know when you go tide pooling?
You haven't
no
gone tide pooling?
No one's ever said that to anyone
that's
ever.
That's the truth. You go tide pooling. You go
What's
out when
the truth?
When the tide goes out and there's like little rocks and reef and you can walk around and see little starfish and sea anemones and
sea
mollusks.
Sea anemones.
Yeah, sea anemones.
Sounds like a rap song from things. Biggie Smalls. Sea anemones. Sea anemas.
That's public enemy.
Number.
Okay. You know what?
You're petting the dogs. You're so high, you're just slowly petting the dogs.
You're coming home with me. She's too high.
No, you know what? He can't go home with you because you have a dog.
No, I know, but he'll love my dog. They're going to love each other.
I hope they will.
They're
going to
be buds. They're both fixed.
They are fixed, and she's a girl.
She's a sweet puppy.
She's really cute. Does she have a red asshole ready for him?
No, but you know what?
You better pucker up.
I got a glimpse of that fucking... That
dirt star.
Did we just become best friends?
Yes!
Yes!
If you could sleep with any man, who would you sleep with? John Stamos.
Were you playing my drums? No. Why are you sweating? I was watching Cops.
We watched. What did we watch? Dirty Dads 2.
Oh, no. Dirty Dad. No, we did not. For the record, we did not watch anything called Dirty Dad. I think you watched that when you got home. We watched Daddy's Home 2 with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg because we were high as fuck. Let's watch Dirty Daddies. I'm like, Jessamay, why are you stretching?
You were so excited. Don't act like it was all my idea. You were so excited about
it.
The first one was so funny.
Yeah, it was super funny.
Mark Wahlberg has like three temperatures acting. And let's be honest, Will Ferrell does as well, but he's so fucking, they're both good at what they do.
Will Ferrell, you don't want to see him do anything else other than be the lovable fucking doofus.
No, you don't want to. No, it's like everyone has their lane, and he's great at what he does.
You know who's incredibly dynamic?
Who?
Like, ridiculously great actor is John C. Reilly.
Really?
Fucking great. John C. Reilly is like crazy talented.
I was going to rent Wild Card.
I mean, they're all talented, but oh, it's so good.
Wild Card is so good. Is that a spoof of?
Yeah, of Walk the Line. Yeah, I mean.
I just licked the bottom of my wine glass because I don't want to waste that wine.
No, I get it.
I spilled it on my Joan Rivers book, although I think she'd appreciate it, but.
Huh. This is pretty much all the things people do to die alone.
We just figured out the title of this podcast, Dicks, Baboon Assholes, and Dying Alone.
Oh, God love her. God love her. Anyway, the movie, it was okay. Daddy's Home 2 was okay.
It was okay. If, you know. To me, it felt like their attempt at...
getting another check?
Getting another check, for sure. And also kind of hijacking some... one of the greatest Christmas national...
Oh, yeah.
Christmas Lampoon's Vacation. Don't you feel it?
Oh, for sure. But, you know...
The light thing and...
But, you know, what was it? Father of the Bride, who that went on for multiple episodes. Meet the Fockers.
That what do you went mean?
On, Meet the Fockers.
Yeah, what you said, know. Father and Bride, though, went on for multiple episodes.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many fucking sequels there are to that.
Yeah, you're right.
Know, when they hit with shit like that, they have to do it again.
Yeah, because it's just like a money grab. It's like,
yeah.
It's just,
it's like
just
when somebody
sense.
Laughs at one of my shitty jokes, you're like, oh,
no
great.
One,
we're
no
going to hear it again. Why don't we have any shitty jokes? They're most all incredible. I took most of them from Carlos Mencia.
Ooh. Fuck
They're
that guy.
Fuck that. Look at you.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
You just said that breathing in. Fuck that guy. How did you
and then
do
I
that?
Choked on my, what's his name?
I don't have anything personally against him.
No?
Just peripherally. I mean, just, I have some friends, you know, that.
George Lopez, I heard, is a piece of shit, too.
Yeah, I've heard that from same
I've
group of people.
I've heard he's a little bit of a.
Same group of people. He's not about bringing up his peeps.
He's rapey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I've heard about that dude. Yep.
So it's International Women's Day. It is. Today is International Women's Day.
It
I don't
is.
Know if you follow my Instagram. Oh, you liked the picture. I put a picture
of my
mom.
Yeah, you son of a bitch in her seagull.
Oh, how great is that? How great is
that? Adorable.
My mom, such a boss. She was such a
FYI,
boss.
FYI, if you guys aren't paying attention, both of our parents have Alzheimer's.
That's right.
Happy day.
Oh, let We're the fine. Comedy ensue.
I can't sleep at night.
I'll hit that joint again.
I can't sleep at night. I hope my dad can walk me down the aisle one day.
You better hurry up.
You better hurry up.
You know what? Yeah, you're doing great. By the way,
I just lit it.
You're doing great.
You're doing great.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
My hardest part was what you're going through right now. We've talked about. We don't.
Yeah.
Kick this so all over again because
we're not gonna cry.
I'll be in the takeout window at Taco Bell, Bundy and Olympic, bawling my eyes out. But you're
and
doing
it's
great.
Okay to cry.
You're, of course. I'm a professional at this point.
I think you know. We live in a society where emotions, maybe not so much now because everything's adjusting to be female, but emotions are deemed weak. And showing emotions is even weaker, but fuck
well, we've
it.
Got, yeah, I mean, we've got a president that says, losing is unacceptable and you're a loser and, you know, it's all about winning and losing. And
it's not that black
and growth is all about your relationship to loss and how you can lose and how you can move on from shit and, like, and become way more fucking dynamic and expressed
and
not
compassionate.
Afraid. Compassionate. Thanks.
Like, when life humbles you,
yeah.
When it takes away, it starts to slowly take away your best friend and it humbles your fucking ass, then you start to go, oh, other people are going through this. Not that, I mean, you and I, we're not those types of people that aren't compassionate, but I'm just saying, like, you need to have something.
And then, and also, you know, I say that, like, it took me a while to figure out where happiness was or where, like, joy and happiness was. And it's like, you know when you go to Macy's or Bloomingdale's and you wind up next, like, on the third floor and Homewares next to the plates and shit?
Like, yeah, in that weird department.
Yeah, yeah. And then right next to it is always luggage.
Yeah, like, why are the plates reason, and like, luggage near
it's
each
all,
other?
It's all just right there. That is gratitude and happiness. So
like
when you can get to gratitude, happiness is just, it's always right next
that's
door. Right.
That's a great analogy.
And the way to, and
is that from one of your life coach seminars?
No, I made that one up.
That's really good. Well,
thank you. I'll tell you. So I'll start using it when I start coaching people.
When you get there, I mean,
kill themselves.
I feel like you could maybe even go with like coordinates, like business coordinates, like the top is here and the bottom's right around on the other rack. But yeah. I like that the dishes and luggage.
Because. Ah! Yeah! Leo's here. What's up, man? We were getting into some heavy shit. I'm not going to lie. She got me stoned.
I thought we were freestyling.
We're freestyling. All right.
I can't wait.
You guys got to keep that in.
I can't wait to listen back to where you and I both got so scared.
My God. Hey, Jess, do you have any wet wipes?
What?
Don't worry about it. No, somebody else shit my pants. What do you got? What are you eating
in
there?
No, but if you ask
you
a question,
grapes?
No
oh,
one's
going
to be able to hear him. We can't have the cross conversation.
No, I know. So Leo Flowers.
Leo Flowers is here.
Just finished a tour in Pakistan.
He did. You made a good point about grateful. What was it? Gratitude?
Gratitude being next to happiness.
Yeah. And where is... where...
I'm so grateful for these goddamn grapes. Thank you, Leo.
Oh, yeah. Are you dry? Is the weed made you? Did you walk into Taco Bell good? With dry lip?
I dropped my phone on the floor, kicked my shoe off, and I've been texting Domino's for a pizza the entire time we've been talking. Now, you're going to get another knock. That's who I thought he was.
Domino's? Yeah. We both screamed.
Yeah, I know. I got 42 cheese pizzas. Is this Christmas McClure? I'm like, I couldn't type my full name.
Christmas, your foot.
And auto-corrected.
Christmas. I know a girl named Shauna Christmas. She's a comedian.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Well.
Tall girl.
Happiness, gratitude. So gratitude came to me by way of, well, my mom can walk. And I was able to take her to this place today, and we did that thing, and she didn't shit her pants.
It becomes more simple, right?
Super simple.
And then
gratitude came. Gratitude now is like, we made eye contact, and she smiled and squeezed my hand. And I'm grateful. And I'm grateful that also, like, I'm grateful every time I write a check for care.
Yeah,
like,
that you can do that.
I can do it. Mm-hmm. You know? Some asshole right now is writing a check for a boat he hasn't been to in 5 months.
Yeah, or a stripper. He's got a stripper on a check. He's giving her a check. And yeah, she's going to cash it.
That's probably... Okay, if I had a choice.
You prefer that.
I do. I prefer that one. But no, I'm super grateful that I can afford to take care of her. I'm grateful my brother and I are super tight now and are dealing with the shit. And I'm grateful that, like, she doesn't have ass cancer.
Yeah. Farrah Fawcett.
Ugh.
She had ass cancer. Did she pass from it? I believe she did.
Man, that's awful.
It brings me back to, I just keep thinking about, I mean, it's like a lot of baboon ass and ass cancer. But
think about it like this, like, yes, we miss him. And yeah, like, we're incorporating that loss into our lives and it's teaching us.
She died of cancer.
Yeah. Hopefully it's teaching us the right kind of, you know, gratitude and hammering us out to make us better people. But the worst part, I feel so deeply for people that are like, oh yeah, my dad has fucking bone cancer.
Yeah.
And when I think about him, not only do I think about losing him, but I think like he's in pain right now.
That's terrible.
That's just, it's so fucked.
Because Alzheimer's, it's painful for the person to experience it on a level that we can't understand because it's internal. Mm-hmm. But there are moments that are so funny you cry laughing.
Oh my God, my mom thought I had a place in Malibu. You were walking up the beach.
You're like, there's a tent. Yeah. There's a tent somewhere.
She's
that
like,
I'm
is
pitch.
That your house? I'm like, Mom, I live in Sherman Oaks. She's like, I'm sorry, that's right.
My dad but answered the door. My mom told me that when she went to go pick him up, and this happened to me as well. He answered the door in one black sock, a Tommy Bahama like Hawaiian shirt. And that was it.
Full cock and balls.
Just out. Yeah. Swinging to and fro. Where are we going? And like, where are we going?
Oh, my God.
Ready to
Did
go.
Did he have it draped over one of his arms asking you he if you could
martini.
Read his watch? He's like, hey, what time is it? Take a look. Gotcha. All right, you're driving. Your mouth is open. 10 points. Oh, you son of a bitch. Just swinging.
Oh, my God.
Swinging wizard dick.
I have said that his dick looks like a wizard. It looks like Gandalf.
Yeah.
It does.
These are the things. I mean, I knew it when we first met, and I cried in your sink because you were standing over there looking at a picture, or I was standing in your kitchen, and I saw a picture of you and your father, and I was like, ah, it's such a great picture of you guys. And you go, yeah, look at this one over here. It's the first time I ever did stand up. And I was like, Jess, that's so heavy. That's so incredible that you have that in a picture. And then you started crying, and you said, oh God, he's just fading so fast. And then I started crying.
In my sink.
In your sink. And then you're like, are you fucking crying in my sink? And I believe I got my purse and I left. But from that get-go, like, that was my first introduction to you losing your dad to this. I didn't know that he was in that shape. And you're handling it like a champ. I got to tell you, like, you're just, I know you feel like, you know, the wheels are coming off sometimes, but, you know, you're talking about it, you're writing about it, you're going out and doing it on stage, you're posting about it, you're fucking booking plane tickets to fly home knowing what you're getting into. Do you know how hard it is for me still? I've been dealing with this for 7 years to get into my stupid fucking electric car and drive
your
10 miles.
So quiet.
I fucking hate it. To drive 10 miles to Glendale.
But
to see my
maybe
mom. That's so hard.
But I was thinking about this, and I might have said this to you before. It's almost easier for me to be geographically removed because he's been so intertwined to my life, my whole life.
Well, you've needed to do that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've needed to like.
I almost think it's harder doing what you do where she's here and she's close to you. And, you know, that would make me be more panicked about fixing it.
Yeah, well,
because at least I have the luxury of distance. Well, distance, you know, is a luxury.
Well, you know
me.
What's interesting about that is that when I resigned from feeling codependent and like I needed to go over there and fix it, like, you know, I write and produce, so I don't show up to a 9-to-5 thing, and there are days to where I have fuck all to do until 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. Right. So
it could be torture
when it gets to 12:30 and I'm like, you know what? I could have gone to see her today. I could have spent an hour with her today. And I didn't. Been here.
You beat yourself up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But
totally.
You can't.
I know that. But I also had to break through that like codependent thinking and beating myself up about it. And also thinking like, oh, well, I need to be all of these.
Everything at once.
Yep. And I need to take care of this other person. And then I also stopped dating people that I had to take care of.
Yeah, it does make you go, no.
Yeah.
No.
Way less is required of me.
Yeah.
I don't have to get you an agent and convince you that you're going
to
be a successful screenwriter.
Yeah, no, you don't
need to.
No.
Drive you to meetings and, you know, and I don't have to support you and let you fucking steal my credit card. All my friends know exactly who I'm talking about right now.
Fuck that bitch. But you know what? Imagine how she felt having to be that type of person. So hopefully she came out on the other side.
Get this. So I was at the Soho House one night.
Oh, shit.
About
reunion.
A year and a half ago. And I get an Instagram message that's like, I can hear you laughing on the other side of the room. And look, and it's her. I don't follow her fucking anything. She found me and just shot me a message.
And she just was like wearing skin. She was Buffalo Bill in it.
No. She was there on like some meeting. Get this. After I had her move out, 2 months later, she sold a screenplay. And that's what she was doing while she was living with me. She's a screenwriter, aspiring screenwriter. And then she sold a screenplay. I was driving.
Did you ask her for 10%? Yo, give me that commission, she, bitch.
Yeah.
Pushing you out the nest.
She sold like 4 of them. Like she's
what?
She's a fucking diligent writer. I haven't read her writing in a while, so I don't know.
We need to get back to writing Mystic Springs.
But yeah, for sure. But she's diligent. One thing that bitch can do is put some fucking words on paper. And
she puts pins in.
And she also
bank,
knows how to dial a fucking.
She can put pins in machines.
Not very difficult to figure out ATM code.
She's just like looking over her shoulder.
Yeah.
4255.
This motherfucker.
Rent paid.
But she actually cleaned up. She goes, you have no idea, like, how shitty I felt. And she, like, you know, she cleaned it up. I mean, she cleaned it up in the best way that she could. And it's all whatever.
You know, and it's like, you want to judge people for doing what they do, but everyone is on some shit journey. And you never know why.
Yeah.
You never know why.
That's right. And you know, we're hard on ourselves, and we won't accept our own humanity, and we're so fucking hard on other people too.
We're so critical of everybody,
and especially, God forbid, they break up with us, or they, you know, they hold our heart for a second, and then it doesn't work out, and they're just monsters.
Then it's like, yeah, oh, they're the worst.
But you know, I just don't believe in any of that shit. Oh no!
Hey,
your dog.
Oh,
just peed.
Bunny, no,
looked me in the eye while she did it.
Oh no, you gotta talk to them while I clean it.
Ugh.
Bad girl.
Anyway, so are you really going to clean it up?
Yeah, I got to get it before it settles down to the belly of the carpet.
You mean like every other piss stain in here?
Shut your mouth.
Actually, it does look kind of clean.
Yeah, I got the carpets cleaned.
You got the carpets cleaned?
Bunny, you're a bad girl.
Why would she do that? Why wouldn't she tell you she needs to go take a piss?
She's a bitch.
Look at Carlin, feels guilty. He's like, I would never do anything like that with you guys here.
And
wait till you leave.
And I'd eat all your trash.
Oh my God, this is such a dumpster dog. I'll tell him more things. Jess, I think that's enough. I think that's enough fluid.
Are you sure?
What are you trying to do, drown your downstairs neighbors? Jesus Christ, it's nature's miracle, right? It's just let it set up for a second. You know who I mean, I love the idea that you're getting the carpets cleaned in here. Talk about putting lipstick on a pig. These fucking
I've
animals.
I've gotten these carpets shampooed, honestly, since I've moved in here, about 7 or 8 times. I've only lived here 2.5 years.
You love your dogs. That's great. You're a good dog mom.
I just don't want it to look like I own dogs. I don't want it to smell.
It doesn't smell in here.
No, because I had them. I had like 37 Mexicans in here shampooing my carpet.
I hope there was legit. Okay.
No, they were Mexican.
They were Mexican.
Yeah. I mean, is it racist to say they were what they were?
Well, we know they did a good job.
They did a great job.
Yeah.
They took some of my weed.
Did you give it to them or did they just take it?
They didn't. That was a racist joke. They didn't take my weed.
That was a racist joke.
That was a little racist. They didn't steal any weed. I took it voluntarily.
I could use your advice on this. And I'm going to do this joke about my girlfriend.
Speak into your microphone.
I'm going to do this joke about my girlfriend and about how her dad married the babysitter. Mm. You know, the dad that lives on the beach in Malibu. Jesus. He married the babysitter. And the joke is something like, you know, so there's just, I'm absolutely going to be watching my kids. Like, there's no chance of me ever having a babysitter or a nanny for my kids. You know, she's even, I would even say my housekeeper's days are numbered. She's like, so how did you meet Rosa? I'm like, what do you mean, my housekeeper? I don't know, I just think it's weird that she wears makeup. Is that racist?
Yeah.
Why? That's my housekeeper's name.
Rosa?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's truthful.
It's
truthful. You should say that whole thing. You should go, is that racist? And the audience will be like, yeah. I'm like, fuck you. That's her real name.
That's her real name.
And you should have her at the show and have her come up. Every show. Have her tag along. Every single time. That's the only way it won't be racist. Good luck.
I'm like, Rosa, please stand up.
yes, mister.
Yeah, yeah. Rosa.
She just always.
Echale prima. Right. She's okay, just, that was racist. That,
she's just a counter girl at Taco Bell, not even Mexican. Yeah, or Spanish.
Exactly. She's just a fucking goth chick from the mall with dark hair. I'm sorry, I thought you were Mexican.
He paid me $20 to be here.
Yeah.
You said you were having like a little bit of a rough set the other night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I.
But it turned around at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I finished. I definitely feel like I finished strong, and, you know, I. Some friends there that are usually pretty awful and tell me the truth, but yeah, I got up to do 5 for the Laugh Factory, for the owner of the Laugh Factory, and it was
5 is tough to do.
Yeah,
5 is
really
takes
hard to
discipline.
Get them on your side. Yeah, yeah, that was the other thing. I was like, why did I go up with loose stuff? Why didn't I go up and just
you gotta go
hit,
pop
hit,
pop
hit,
pop,
yeah,
pop pop?
And I didn't. I went up with like. You know, am I right?
Go up loose on 5.
No, I went up like, I'm going to work on this thing. You know, it'll be... And I had this whole symphony constructed in my head that was like, I'm going to go up and say, this, and then I'm going to go into... I'm a, 40-year-old heterosexual white male. Where am I white?
40's generous.
Where am I? Thank you.
I mean, you're definitely like 50.
Oh, fucking not a chance. Do I really look 50? That's only because I'm so smart.
So close to 50.
I'm 40.
Oh, so close.
What are you talking
about? You're funny and you're a good person.
Oh, thanks.
So it makes up for you.
You know what? It really doesn't make me feel any better. but anyway, so I was going to go into like, where my heterosexual white men at. It's okay. It's a safe place. Right?
Because everything's
Yeah,
because
everything's
right
upside down. But I got up on stage and like it was 90% black. And I'm
nice.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to do that.
Mm. Did you not do it?
No, I didn't do it.
I wish you would have. I feel like that would have been great for them.
Did I make a Wakanda joke? Because it's kind of what it looks like. Two of the guys were from Africa.
That would have been a great... I think that would have been funny if you did that white guy thing.
Yeah.
They probably would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, where are my white guys at? It's a safe place. But anyway...
It's not a safe place. You guys are fucked.
As we should be. We've talked about it.
Seriously.
But, whatever. I can't fix that. I mean, I can.
Fix it.
Fix it, Chris.
Fix it. You know how we're going to fix that? We're going to go here to Anne Hebrierson's.
Mm.
That's our strip
club
name.
Can I tell you about me fixing white privilege? Can I tell you what happened? One night I was leaving the comedy store.
I love when people fix white privilege.
I was leaving the comedy store. I was all excited because I'd done okay with the set in the Belly Room, and I'm leaving at like 12:20, and I get into my Uber, and it's a 65-year-old black dude.
Whoa.
Who is like, so yeah, you know, you're a comedian, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, you know, all the greats were black. Hmm. I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, George Collins is pretty
50-50.
And, you know, Seinfeld's pretty big comedian.
Carlin,
he's
Robbins.
Like, yeah, and you know, Seinfeld. Same with music. I'm like, well, you know, I actually came up in music, so I could talk to you about music. Like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, I mean, there's incredibly,
amazing,
incredibly,
and a lot of
talented
trendsetters in the black community.
Especially
when you go into jazz and Motown.
Without a doubt.
Just super amazing.
Without a doubt. But, you know, the Beatles also wrote, you know, 300 songs. And,
Bowie.
Well, but he said to me, he goes, you probably think the Beatles have good voices.
No.
And I'm like, well, they don't have bad voices and they're fucking great writers. Like, they're just really great. You can't say, oh, man. And, you know, and we got into this heated fucking debate over, like, he was really aggressive about it. And I was like, look, man, you'll never hear me say that, you know, that white people authored this shit or are sitting on top of it. Like, but you can't say that they're, like, he was saying that they just had no talent, right? And
people had no talent?
Yeah, he was like, oh, man, and this, like, you know, this girl, Adele, I'm sorry, but, like, Adele on her best day was no Whitney Houston. I'm like, yeah, but it's not.
It's different.
A competition.
No, and you can't, that's
right?
Like, you can't compare. Whitney was like, yo, Whitney represented an era and a group of people just the same way Adele. I mean,
that's
Adele broke the mold.
Yep.
Literally
broke
the mold.
Yeah.
And she came out full figure.
Probably a few plastic chairs.
Definitely a couple fold-ups. A couple fold-ups snapped
but
right in the crotch.
She's fucking incredible.
Incredible.
And beyond her voice, and beyond, you know, she's got a couple of amazing fucking well-written songs that she writes or co-writes. She also is like, hey, I'm an underdog from England.
And chill and funny.
And that's overweight. And, like, I don't have it all figured out. And I throw up before I go on stage.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not like...
She's nervous
all the time. She's not some fucking put together... I'm convinced that Ariana Grande was made in a laboratory.
No, she was. She was
right?
In a Petri dish.
In a Petri dish. She was engineered to make grown men feel uncomfortable.
And she can manipulate her voice in the way that, like, a Serbian physical body contortionists can bend their bodies.
But what Adele did beyond just her vocal ability and what she represented for, you know, call it the every girl or just somebody, you know.
Just regular chicks.
Regular chicks.
I mean, she was probably, if you think about the history of music, who else has done what Adele has done? Just from a record perspective, mm-hmm. female in her genre and the way she looks.
Yeah.
No one.
Right.
No one has been that successful musically and has looked that way in the history of music. Well, maybe if you go as far back as like...
I mean, Aretha Franklin was never thin. But
Aretha.
She was fucking... She came up... She was a church singer. She came up as a stunning church singer. She was fucking beautiful, but that's
Adele
also...
Adele is kind of... She's got a little Aretha Franklin in her.
But Adele came up in fucking pop music next to... You know, Adele was on the charts at the same time Lady Gaga's on the charts.
Megan
Trainor?
Yeah,
Megan Trainor's another one that, like, I would say without Adele, we don't have Megan Trainor. But this guy, my driver, was not interested in any of them and was only interested in telling me that the only music that's mattered is black music and the only comedy that's mattered are black comedians. And that I need to understand, like, what the real shit is, and white people have only ever been creatively trying to catch up. And I'm like, no.
How's
you know,
it possible
no,
when we both have existed?
Right. And I was like, well, you know.
It's not a competition.
What about Mozart? Well, you know, fucking, if the black people had a chance to be making music back then, you would have heard, da da da. I was like, oh.
But that's just irrelevant.
So it was just a lot of angst
and
aggression.
What was his deal? Did you get down to the core of it?
Yeah. So... I was confronting him. I was disagreeing with him, right?
This is like, I feel like Jerry Seinfeld should have had this on Comedians in Cars.
It was fucking aggressive. He had a younger white dude in the back of his car who's driving home for work, disagreeing with him about the shit that he's really passionate about. And what he was telling me, he goes, "You don't understand white privilege." And I'm like, you don't know that I don't understand white privilege.
Yeah, you're making all these like...
Yeah, you're making broad, sweeping statements, yeah. Right? And then I go, well, then tell me how you know that. Well, I know, because there's no way you can understand white privilege because that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and I kept trying to find ways to go with him on something instead of like, and try to get him to see the fact that he was so adversarial, like interrupting me, and he was being the aggressor, that it wasn't opening us up for.
Had like a chin hair brush my microphone.
That was incredibly.
Wow, long. I felt like a witch.
You want me to pull that?
I don't know where it went. I think I just went in my mouth. Okay, sorry.
Pull back up in your skin. but anyway, so it ended with, and this is the crazy part. So it's from the store through Beverly Hills over to the other side of the hill to my house.
Okay, so everybody, that's like from...
it's about 20 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
At night.
Yeah.
So I'm in the car with this guy for 20 plus minutes having this conversation. It's getting fucking heated. And finally he goes, "You just don't understand. You know, young black men and women don't get the same opportunities as you. And I'm not going to fix it. And they're not going to fix it. The ones that are going to fix it are the young white men like you that are getting into those rooms that can bring them into the rooms with you." And I was like, holy shit. You're right. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're right. You're right. And you're right. I never said I didn't do that. He just had this thing. He just thought I didn't do that. Yeah. And I do that.
Yeah. That's been your career.
My career is finding the most fucking talented people. And to be honest with you, if I'm looking for fucking comedy and music and a black dude shows up and a white dude shows up, I am looking at the black dude going, "All right, man, what do you got?"
Yeah.
You know, chances are, like, I'm going to make the thing with Future, you know? I'm not going to make the fucking thing with who's the fucking insert white rapper here that's not Eminem. Anyway.
Lil Dicky.
Yeah, he's funny so too, good, but though. I'd still do Future. So I go, "Dude, I totally agree with you." I go, "You're right about that. You're right about that. And I'll pay more attention to that. I'll do that. I'll commit to doing that."
Yeah. Everyone's got responsibility for sure. Everyone's got a place in this.
He was literally like, by the time we pulled into my driveway, right? He's like, and it was not lost on me.
Is he jerking off?
No, he was fucking, he was fired up. And he's a big dude, 6'4", something like that. Like, Jesus. Big motherfucker. I know this because I go, "Hey man, will you do me a favor? You wait a second." I got out of the car and I went around. I opened up his door. I was like, "Hey man, can you pop out?
Can you put your dick in my mouth?"
No, I was like, "Hey, come on, let's hug it out. And he's like, "Yeah." And I could tell. I could just tell that he was so like.
He needed it.
He needed someone to hear him.
Yep.
He needed someone to hear him. He needed to express. And he needed to get off his chest. He needed for me also to not think that, like, he needed for me to not think I was right. He needed for me to not get out of the car and discount him because he didn't handle it right.
Yeah.
Right? And I got out of my car and I went into my house and I'm like, I just fucking argued for 20 plus minutes about white privilege with an older black
Uber
while I was
driver.
Being driven Ooh. Home, while I was ha. Being chauffeured
Yo,
to my home.
If history doesn't fucking repeat itself,
I'm like,
and we're in a generation where if he would have said that 40 years ago,
oh my God,
he would have been beaten. And that's
can
so
you imagine?
Sad.
Can you or can you imagine like 10 years ago a cab driver having that conversation?
Yeah,
right.
And that's but you know that's like it's kind of it's amazing. It reminds me of Driving Miss Daisy because that's Morgan Freeman was like. Talking, mm-hmm. you know, he was, you know, talking school to her and trying to like tell her about her life.
I just think that's where we fall down. We fall down when we stop talking. We fall down when we stop talking
well,
to each other.
You're probably gonna fall down after you
I'm
leave after smoking.
Fall. Look at your dog.
Joints.
Your dog's looking at me right
you're
now.
You're gonna fall into like, the Taco Bell.
Motherfucker's gonna fall face first onto the floor.
See, but that's what I'm talking about. Like you hugged him afterwards, and people. We need more of that. We need more of that in life.
Just
hugging your Uber drivers. It might end in alley rape, But just try, just go, just have some faith.
What the fuck are you talking about? I'm going to hold the microphone up to my mouth again. I don't know what alley rape you're talking about.
I said,
what do we cover?
I said you should, I said you hugged your Uber driver, and I want to condone that, and I want to encourage it, but it could also end in alley rape well, because I'm coming from
don't
the female
do it if you're
perspective.
A woman.
Don't ever hug your Uber driver if you're a female, but bring a male with you. Get out of the car. Send Chris
Can
McClure
I ask you something?
Over.
Can I got to ask you something.
Oh, Jesus.
So I had this conversation
Son
with...
Son of a bitch.
So, you know, have you met my lesbians, right?
Met your lesbians?
Yeah,
what are
girls.
You, Manson?
No. My, those girls, they hang out, we hang out all the time. One's
no,
a drummer,
I have not met your lesbians.
Oh, come on, you've met them.
No, I haven't.
Anyway, they're like, they're just...
Have
really,
you met my lesbians?
They're with me, we
you,
hang
the
out
Uber
all the time.
The Uber driver just told you about white privilege. And you just
I have straight privilege?
About, yeah, you're yeah. like... Have
no,
you met my lesbians?
You did. You met them. They've been like a lot of. They were at our Pasadena show. Anyway, so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So one of them is an amazing drummer, right? And she's super quiet and chill, and she, the half black one. And then the other one, her dad's a really famous screenwriter, and she's smart as a fucking whip, and a super feminist. Right, this girl is like nothing gets by her. She's not militant, but she's just like that thing is that filter is so like she got that hearing aid cranked all the way up.
Good for her.
Right? Yeah. So they keep me pretty honest. And we were talking one night and she was like, "You know, Chris, you just don't understand. Like most women are afraid and walk around men. Most women are just like you don't know what it's like to walk around and be afraid."
You're always, you know what it's like? It's like being a small creature in a jungle of giant creatures who have had more opportunities, who have been reared to believe that they are, they have the right to more things. Mm-hmm. So as like that smaller creature, you're just like, well, I got to defend myself. You're always on the defense as a woman.
Yeah.
Growing up in certain areas.
And you all, or is it something that you're just never not aware of? Like, you're walking through the airport, you're like...
Not so much...
Grocery store?
You know, not so much now. Like, maybe back in the day, I was much more aware of it. But now, like, when I'm in the grocery store, I think I'm just too high to care because I'm just in the... I'm like, what flavor of ice cream is it tonight?
Yeah. They're like, ma'am, you can't eat it here.
I want frozen pizza and ice cream on top of each other right now. I'm just eating everything.
You're taking a microwave out of the box at the grocery store and plugging it in for your microwave pizza.
No, but it definitely is like a
So you're
thing.
Not, are you saying that now you have the
for
awareness,
me.
But are you afraid?
Yeah. I think for me, I'm afraid, but I come from a different perspective. I was raped when I was 16. My ex was physically threatening.
Okay. Ring a bell next time. You're going to drop something. Jesus
Did you just
Christ.
Drop my chrome wine glass?
Yeah, these chrome wine, yeah.
Yeah, so I
Did you one of your boyfriends make these in like a fucking vocation school?
He whittled it.
He whittled
it. from a
he's
electrical
like,
storm.
He's like, I had to sell most of my motorcycle for parts, but I kept the tank and I made you these glasses. Like, he's an artist. He just bought 4 more months in my apartment rent free.
I just have him make me things out of the tears of baby angels.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's right. And he's hung like a loaf of bread. Who cares? I can't.
Like a loaf of bread.
I don't need to learn his last
Soft
name.
Soft and organic. You better use it up in 3 days or it's going to get rock hard. Hello, going to hop on at the third day. I
think. When you tell me one time, you're like, yeah, I caught air. I almost broke a dick. I was like, well, hello, Jessamine. My name's Chris.
my man. I almost broke his D near a fire. I felt terrible.
You know what? I think that's not a fireable offense.
I don't think so.
So you're
We're
not
still
afraid?
Together.
Yeah, good. Good. Hang on tight. He's a sweetheart. That's a good dude.
He's a good dude.
Fucking good dude. I knew right away when I saw that dude. I was like, yeah.
That's a good dude.
That's a good dude. Because when you meet somebody like that, you really. You know, when you start to care about somebody as a friend, And they're like, oh, yeah, and you got to meet, you know, my, you know, so-and-so.
And you're like, oh, fuck. I better not hate this person. And then you're like, and I'm going to hate my friend a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're going to be like, and for me, most of the time with women, it's the relationships you used to have, which are like, hey, what's going on, Chris? Oh, I love hanging out with you because you're a nice guy, but I fuck these assholes, and why don't you meet one of them? Yeah, no, and so...
You're like, I'm busy, I've got Pinochle at 3.
Yeah, yeah, no, I, there's not enough fucking...
I've got Connect Four. Listen, with myself.
I'm just gonna go park outside my mom's home and beat myself up.
I have a sink to cry into.
Yeah, yeah, I'm gonna go cry in Jess's sink. Who's Jess? Don't worry about it. Call me when you break up. But anyway, when you were Skyping him or FaceTiming or something like that, and... He's just a fucking sweetheart and a good dude, and you could tell, like, that.
He's not trying to impress anybody.
And he's just, yeah, he's just a sweet, good, he's just good.
He is good.
Right?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
It's awesome.
And he calls me on my shit, which I love. He accepts all my crazy.
No, he hasn't seen all your crazy.
No, he hasn't seen it
all.
Literally.
Not a chance.
You've seen my farts. He'll never see my farts. No,
he's got to come here. And you need a
he's
solid.
He's been here.
No. I mean, you guys have to spend a serious amount of time together to where you lose your shit and you're like, you know what? I'm gonna burn it down. I'm gonna burn it all down.
He already knows. I'm telling you, all that.
You're gonna go.
You say that right now. He's gonna be right now. I know he's laughing at what you just said.
You're gonna go, Derek. She hasn't gone fully fucking neutral. I'm telling you, she's got more in her. She's good. She could be great. And this bitch is gonna go off. She is gonna fucking. She is fit to split on fucking craziness.
What do you write the logos for in Living Color?
Hallmark cards. Hallmark cards.
And catchphrases.
For Living Color.
Fit to split.
Isn't your demographic
my age?
Yeah,
35.
Oh, okay.
Respect yourself before you wreck yourself.
I mean, Living Color is still a little old for you. What were you, fucking 11? Like, why are those girls move like that? That's amazing. I think that man's a homosexual. I've heard of them.
they're devil worshippers.
Yeah,
right?
Jesus Christ. Why are these black people so well spoken?
they're amazing. They're amazing.
Can we just talk? That show, David Alan Greer.
I'm going to take the last of this, James Bryant. There's like two sips. David Alan Greer is so.
Jim Carrey. Fucking.
Come on, dude.
Jamie Foxx.
I mean,
the Wayans brothers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The cast was. It was amazing. Tommy Davidson was like, fucking.
And that was on.
He was dying. He was literally. You would watch Tommy Davidson come on the screen and you were like, anything he does is going to be.
He's a firecracker.
It was a fucking inferno.
And that was on the same time as Saturday Night Live. And it was like, I always. In Living Color, for me, it connected to me more because it pushed so many different boundaries. Like they had Homie the Clown, which was like a drunk clown.
Yeah.
They had the guy who had the Homie don't, and he'd smack kids in the face.
Homie don't play.
They had the
Fire Marshal Bill.
Hmm? They had Vera, which was like Vera the Milo. First transgender ever on television.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
They had
hated it.
Two men and around, two snaps and around the world.
Two snaps, the twist and the kiss.
Hated it. Yeah. And then they had the Jamie Foxx character.
Which one?
The Jamie Foxx character with Duke. The taxidermy dog.
Are you so crazy, Shanaynay? Oh, damn. No, you need to go nowhere. I got your gasoline right here.
Shanaynay was Martin. Sorry, different show.
No.
Shanaynay was Martin.
No. Who did Jamie Foxx do?
Jamie Foxx. Oh, wait, was she Shanaynay?
Yeah.
Did Martin steal Shanaynay?
No.
He did that character on Martin. That's why I just got so confused.
I don't think it was Shanaynay.
Shanaynay.
No.
You don't remember
baby,
Martin's
I got
alter
you.
Ego?
You still, no. But Jamie, I don't know. I didn't watch Martin that much. But
Martin had an alter ego. It was
Jamie
just
Foxx
like
for
Shanaynay
sure.
With the booty.
What is it?
He put a booty. He had the big old booty. Remember he had a big old booty?
And he was a little bit cross-eyed.
Hi. Martin did the same character on his show.
Okay. I mean, look, who cares? So did fucking Eddie Murphy, kinda. And so did Tyler Perry. I mean, they all, like, who gives a fuck? It's not what you take. It's where you take it.
That's true.
And they all took it to...
They in Living Color went over the line. Do you remember the dude Come on, Duke. The old guy with the dog, the dead dog. He'd walk around, this taxidermied German Shepherd.
Who was it?
It was David Alan Grier. Come on, Duke.
David Alan Grier, to this day, like, if there's a chance for me to hear David Alan Grier on, like, Marin or any, God, I wish he had a show.
He's so talented.
He's one of the most talented, funny in real time motherfuckers.
Okay. We have to end this because we're going to talk for all night long.
Yeah, we're going to cut most of it out.
I'm cutting it all out. I think we're going to do a tight three on this episode.
Really? That's better than I did at the Laugh Factory. Anyway, I was beating myself up about the Laugh Factory, but you helped me out. You gave me some good advice about not coming down so hard on myself.
What did I say about the room?
Super profound.
I said something really profound.
It was just like, don't beat yourself up. And
no, that was more. It was more profound than that. I was like, God, I really wish you would have remembered my advice.
I'm too high.
Remember, we both were like, wow.
Wow, you're incredible.
Yeah, we both said, wow, it was incredible. I wish we could have remembered what it was.
I don't know, but I felt better after I talked to you. I was like, can we talk? You're like, yeah, we can talk. And I called you on FaceTime.
Why do I sound like that? You called me on FaceTime. You just saw my eyebrows.
Yeah.
Which are amazing.
Yeah. Do you get them done?
No, but I'm going to. I found a girl.
Wow, your eyebrows look good. They're very symmetrical.
Yeah, I found
you got strong eyebrow game.
Strong.
Yeah, holy shit.
So strong. That's almost as strong as my nephew's dick game.
Oh shit.
Full circle.
What are we talking about? Like, how old is he?
Stop flirting.
Can you draw it? So funny off stage. So fun. What you want to have?
I just told
Hey,
Chris,
your next comedian is sitting in the audience.
I can't
Let's
wait
give
to
it up.
Bring
for
you up because it eats your soul a little bit, and the people of the podcast need to understand that you have not slept since I told you that you're so funny off stage.
I know it hurt a little.
Not gonna lie,
you said yeah, you're really well. You know what? Here's the deal.
I didn't mean it.
There are a few.
You're not funny off
there
stage.
Are a few people in my life, and not a lot. You bitch. There. I was talking to your dog. There's a lot of. Aww. Most people can say anything they want, and it doesn't like I can move around it. It doesn't fuck with me. There are people. There are a few people, like you, and my brother, that can say shit to me because of where I hold you in regard. There are things that you can say to where I'm just like, ooh, I don't want to be that guy. Like, if my brother calls me a dildo, it will ruin me. He's like, oh, you fucking dildo. I'm like, oh, God, what did I do? Jesus Christ. You know, and if you're like, yeah, don't ever tell that joke again.
I texted you that. You said something so stupid. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, don't ever do that joke again. Never again.
And I'm like Wile E. Coyote when the fucking dynamite goes off, all my teeth fall out. I'm just smiling.
4 hours later, you're like, yeah. Just steaming about it. Just like, why would I say
bags of sand?
I wish I could remember the profound advice I gave you. Well, we were talking about the room.
Yeah.
You were talking about the room and how people always like to blame the room. Like comedians always like to blame the room. And I said it's like you can only blame the room when it's an open mic night when there's a bunch of comedians and then there's industry because those motherfuckers don't mm-hmm. laugh.
And this was their open mic night. They gave me a house spot to come and just get some tape.
Which is just, you can't.
But I'm doing
you can't gauge that. It has nothing to do with your talent. And those people don't laugh. But, you know, when it comes to like actually performing and being in that room, you can control the energy of it. You know, it's all about how you feel and what you're putting out.
So you didn't actually tell me that. You told my buddy Joel when we were in Michigan, and I got up on stage after that Express model that was hosting the show.
Where were we?
Detroit.
Oh God!
Remember that room?
He spent more time on his outfit than his set.
Holy shit! Right? And so, remember his dad was in the audience, and you roasted his dad, saying he looked like a pedophile.
He did.
Yeah, that went great. So I got I got up after that dude, and you know, it was like dragging people across the fucking tracks. It was just trying to get them to go somewhere, And I was acknowledging that it wasn't going well. And I think I did some crowd work, and I got a couple of free drinks from some rich divorcees. But I wasn't having fun. It looked like I was up there trying to, like, trying to change the experience.
You don't ever want to look as a comedian that you're trying.
And you said to my buddy, you're like, he's got to learn that, like, he can't let them dictate how the show's going to go.
The energy of the room.
Yeah.
You dictate the energy of the room.
And so, I'm feeling much better about doing that now, like getting up, and even if it's not going good, like, even though it was a grind to get the second half of that set together and get people to get a big applause break when I got off stage, I still honestly felt like I was having fun while I was up there.
You have to. It's the only, like, you know, that's, if you don't feel like you're having fun, then they're not going to be having fun. And if you're trying to have fun, they're going to be trying to have fun. You don't want them to have to think about anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, where I went into beating myself up is that I was like, oh, you know, I shouldn't have. Why did I do these bits that I'm not, like, that excited about? And why did I, you know, I.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you can always, you know, we were talking about that. Like, you can always nitpick what went wrong. I could have done this. I could have done that. I, you know, maybe I should have not gone as long. Maybe I should have read the room better. But it's like, you just have to be present. Mm-hmm. And
Some of your funny shit that night at the Ice House, that show
Ice,
that we did.
Ice House.
Ice House. Right after my house. Right after my father passed.
Yeah, your dad died.
He did die. He died that week. You were fucking electric. And I don't know if you remember, but like a third of that was dealing with that crazy woman.
Litsa.
Sure.
Litsa.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Litsa.
Yeah.
I was like, what? That is your name the sound that electricity makes?
When you flip a breaker back on? Yeah. Oh, we're good. Mike's going again. The mic's going.
Can I get
going.
A circuit breaker reboot?
Yeah. But you were like electric. And I remember that because when I got off stage after I vomited and tithed myself. But I went over and sat with my brother and his wife. And you got up. And I'd never been to a comedy show with them before. You know, he's a corporate litigator, and she teaches the kindergarten.
Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah, they're awesome. Such great people. But you get up, and my sister-in-law couldn't catch her fucking breath. She's laughing so hard. And you went right from, you know, your bits that, like, you went from your act into crowd work into jokes about my dead dad. You did, like, 3 callbacks to my dead dad. And they were fucked. They were crying. They were crying.
Dead
laughing.
Dad callback?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were like, yeah, you know, like getting finger blasted, which would never happen by Chris's dad because he's dead now. And the room is like, oh, yeah, that guy. But my brother and his wife were dying, and I just remember, I remember watching you. I was like, every fucking, it was just jab, jab, punch, jab, jab, punch. Like, everything was, and it was only, I've seen your act a bunch since. You're, like, it was just, you were just in the room the entire set. And, like, I think that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Right?
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, the bits, sure, you could have a monster bit, but, like, if you're not in the fucking...
It's no fun.
And you're not... Everyone in the room was like, where else are we going? What else are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
Sure. You had them because you were just so in your feet.
Yeah.
And
I almost got physically assaulted by Litsa.
Yeah,
she's up on stage. I gotta post that video.
Yeah, she looked like she could go.
Yeah, she had
She was dating a dude that looked like he lifted cars with one hand.
And couldn't spell his own name.
When you started roasting him?
I was roasting him. Then she got all... She was like, that's my man. She thought I was like trying to like bone her dude. I'm like, yo, chill, Litsa. Or whatever. Litsa. Whatever. She had like a weird like...
That dude would snap you like wet pine. He was like 6'5".
They're so good at Coachella.
Have you ever seen Wet Pine Acoustic? Acoustic. You got to go see them.
Acoustic?
They do the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. And that's like, you do it at night.
Do you cry?
Oh, Scott. Yeah, of course.
Do you cry on the set?
They're... Fuck you.
I was working for dollars, but they're giving me dimes, and I wanted to rush, but they're giving me time. I went looking for nights, and they're giving me blooms. I went looking for nights. Looking for you.